You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
Man, thank you. We are blessed. Kenny Wayne has been with us several weeks now, and he tells me that he's planning to stay in Odessa.
Right.
I got him to tell you that up here, so you heard him. He's planning to stay in Odessa. Good guitar player, great singer, and I asked him to do a song for us tonight. I believe it's called Adonai, which means, do you know what that means? Tell him what it means.
Lord, Master.
Okay. Adonai, Lord and Master. Beautiful song. Listen.
This is a song of hope.
I don't want to speak those words of defeat no more. I don't want to walk around with my head hung low. Want to change the way I think and the things I say every day and every way. Yeah, the day can bring me down with so much pain, but I know I can take it. I'm taking life these days, and I'm focused on His Word that's living inside of me. Can't nothing hold me down. It brings me love, Adonai, oh Adonai, it brings me love, Adonai, oh Adonai.
Oh,
night. Oh, at night. You don't have to speak those words of defeat no more.
Thank you, Kenny. Thank you.
I was thinking while Kenny was singing, I guess the greatest thrills I have in my life is seeing people who, for all practical purposes, have ruined their lives. And then God has restored them back. And they're living for the Lord. Donnie and I were talking about an inmate, ex-inmate, that one of the guys is instrumental in starting this record. He lives in Andrews. He paroled out to there. He wasn't from there, but he paroled out to there because he paroled out to a halfway house, a Christian halfway house they used to have in Andrews. That's where Kenny is. He's a Christian halfway house, and voluntarily coming to try to help themselves. And this guy was, he'd spent more time incarcerated than he had in the free world when he got out of Smith Unit over here in La Mesa. And Donnie was talking about how that he was the first one at work every morning. He's been working for this outfit ever since he got out of prison. The Chevrolet dealership up there, how they came in extra on the weekend and cleaned up things, about how that he, if a light went out, he replaced it, just how good he did his job. And that's what God's people ought to do. That's just being what we ought to be. And I'm going to tell you, this guy... really turned it around. I'm going to tell you, he was an unusual guy when I first met him. Anyhow, tonight, what we're going to talk about just for a little bit is we're going to talk about a showdown. If you like old Western movies like I do, you've always got the showdowns. I mean, the good guys against the bad guys, and we're going to shoot it out. We're having a showdown. It's time for the showdown. I want to talk to you tonight, and I want you to turn, if you would, to the book of Daniel. I'm going to talk about the showdown at the furnace. Unusual place to have a showdown, but that's where they had one. At the fiery furnace. Daniel chapter 3. And a little background on this. Daniel and the three Jews we're going to be talking about tonight, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, were just teenagers when Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, overthrew Israel and brought them in, took them captive back to Babylon, and began to train them. They were exceptional students. Yeah, I'm sorry. Thank you, Kenny. You need a Bible? Daniel 3, if you need one, get your hand up. We got Bibles. Thank you, Kenny. I get... Sometimes my mind only works one direction, and that's sideways. Need a Bible? By the way, if you don't have a Bible, you just keep that one as a gift from a rec room. If you do have one and you're going to leave it here after the meeting, if you'll leave it on that back table, we'd really appreciate it if you wouldn't leave it in the seats, but on the back table. And that way we'll have them all together. Daniel chapter 3. Nebuchadnezzar was the most powerful man on the face of the earth. He ruled all the world, per se, all the known world. And like most powerful men, he had an ego. And people with egos usually get involved in telling people how to worship. Worship is a word we hear a lot today. We have praise and worship. We have songs and worship. We have worship services. The word worship is used 8 times in this chapter that we're going to read, and 7 of the 8 are bad. Worship can be as bad as it is good. It's like attitude. You can have a good attitude or a bad attitude. You can have good worship, you can have bad worship. And so the king here in chapter 1, chapter 3, verse 1, it said, Nebuchadnezzar, the king, made an image of gold whose height was 60 cubits. That's 60 cubits or 90 feet. And the breadth thereof of them, 6 cubits or 9 feet. That's a 10-to-1 ratio. So whatever he's making an image of, it's not of man. Man is built on a 6-to-1 ratio. It's taller than that. It probably looked more like the San Jacinto Monument, if you've ever seen it. Just long and tall and slender. But he set it in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king sent together the princes, the governors, the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Then the princes, the governors, the captains, the judges, the treasurers, counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces were together unto the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up, and they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then an herald cried aloud, "To you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psalmistry, dulcimer, and all kind of music, you fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up." He decided that he would control the worship. Also, he decided to set the worship to music. And he said, when you hear these musical instruments playing, everybody is going to fall down and worship this image that the king has put up. Because that's what the king wants. Really, in essence, you're going to be worshiping the king because you're obeying the king. And king, whatever you want, that's what we're going to do. And that worked well until it came to 3 Hebrew children, I refer to them, because as teenagers, they'd come out of Israel. They'd been there a while, and they didn't picket. They didn't march against this. They didn't demand their rights, or they didn't quote some amendment about freedom to worship. They just didn't worship. It came time, and the music played, and everybody bowed down. And I'm going to tell you what, if everybody's bowing down, you standing up, you're kind of conspicuous. But we've got to hold, all the people are doing this, so maybe nobody paid much attention until somebody snitched them out. Somebody said, they run to Nebuchadnezzar and said, "I tell you what, those Jews are not worshiping like you said you ought to worship. They're not doing it." And so here come the king. Going to give you guys another chance. Maybe you didn't get the memo. Won't you hear? Well, here's what we're going to do. And when you hear all this music playing, you're going to fall down and worship this image that I have set up. And it is going to be great. And we're going to have a good time, and you will worship him. And the Hebrew children said, "No, you won't. No, we won't." And the king said, "Yes, you will." And they said, "No, we won't." And he said, "I'm going to tell you one thing. If you don't worship it, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to throw you into a fiery furnace. We'll just cremate you a little early." Now, I want you to listen to what these guys got to say. We're going to pick this up about verse 16. Well, no, I want to go back to verse 15, because I want you to get a picture of what, because when people tell them, look, they serve another God. Listen to what Nebuchadnezzar says, verse 15. He said, "Now, if you be ready that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psalmistry, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music. You fall down and worship the image which I have made. Well, if you do that, well, that's good. But if you worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fire furnace. Now listen. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? You know what he's just said? He just said, I'm tougher than God. I'm tougher than God. When I say you're going to be burnt, who is the God that can deliver you out of my hands? Who can protect you from me? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, verse 16, answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we're not careful to answer thee of this matter. This is not something that they knee-jerked on. They'd spent some time thinking about it. We're not careful to answer thee of this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. Now notice what they're saying. Follow them closely. He said, if God wants to, he can deliver us out of this. Our God can do that. On the other hand, he will deliver us out of your hand. Either way this goes, you don't have any control over us. Now, God may deliver us out of the furnace, or he may let us die in the furnace, but in either case, you lose. We'll not be in your hand. He said, if it so be, our God, verse 17, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fire furnace, and he will deliver us out of thy hand, O king. Now notice these three words. But if not. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his vestige was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace 100 times more than it was, 7 times more than it was to be heated. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, and their hats, and with other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent, and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men which took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished, and rose up in haste, and spake, and said unto his counselors, Did not we cast three men bound in the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, True, O king. He answered and said, Lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Those three words, but if not. We live in kind of a pacifist, sissified time of Christianity. We don't have much commitment anymore. When we get a little heat, we back off. Now, I'm going to tell you what. They withstood the heat. Now, this is heat. And they said, if God didn't get us out of this, we're still not worshiping you. We're still not moving. We're still not changing. We're still going to worship God. God can do what he wants to do. He can get us out, but if he don't want to, that's fine. Most of the time, we spend our time trying to convince God we're right, and if he doesn't agree with us, we get mad at him. Dear God, get me out of this if he doesn't do it. I remember going out to Idlewood one time, and we were kind of going through the introduction, and I was telling them about loops, And one of the guys said, can I ask you a question? Because I'd made the statement that Loops was a Bible-based organization. And he said, can I ask you a question? I said, surely. And he said, I have a problem with crack cocaine. Well, everybody I know that used it's had a problem with it. I don't know how long folks got to find out that it is a problem. But anyway, He said they put me in jail, and while I was in jail, I asked God to take crack cocaine away from me. He said, I got out of jail, and God didn't do it. I started using again, and they threw me back in jail. While I was in jail, I asked God to take crack cocaine away from me. I got out of jail. God didn't do it. I started using crack cocaine again. He goes through about four or five of these, and then he ends up in Safe P. And he said, all the time I was in Safe P, I prayed God to take crack cocaine away from me. I got out of Safe P, went back to using crack cocaine. God did not take it away from me. Now I've ended up here. Why didn't God take crack cocaine away from me? Isn't it amazing how we always blame God for stuff we didn't do? I used this illustration. I said, you see over on that wall, I said, there's a sign that tells you how to get out of here in case of fire. And I said, let me tell you something. You can say, I'm a Christian. If this building's on fire, God will get me out, so I'm going to sit here until He does. And I said, I'm going to tell you one thing. All you're going to do is end up being a burnt offering. Because God gave you two legs and instructions on how to get out of here. You know what the Bible said? He said, there's no temptation taking you, but such is common to man. God is faithful. He will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will, with the temptation, make a way to escape. Get out. Flee. Run. Get away from it. And so these men said, God can get us out of there. But if not, we're not going to serve you. How many times have we prayed, dear God, if you will do this, I'll serve you. But are you willing to say, if you don't do it, I'll serve you? See, can we say, God, if you'll get me a good job, I'll serve you? Can you say, but if not, I'll still serve you? God, if you can get me out of trouble, get me off paper, give me some, cut me some slack with the judge or my PO. What if he doesn't? Would you still serve him? Is God God? Hey, God help me to find an apartment. But if he doesn't, if not, would you still serve him? God help me overcome a cancer. What if he doesn't? Will you still serve him? Is he God? These guys said, look, you can kill us, but we don't care. We are not going to bow. We're not going to burn. We're not going to do this. We're staying right here. Somebody said, Lord, if you just help me get my children back, I'll serve you. What if he doesn't? Lord, if you just help me heal my loved one, what if he doesn't? Would you serve him? We need some of this type of grit that can say, if not, but if not, we're not changing anything. We're not changing our lifestyle. We're still going to live for the Lord. We keep looking for, we have a name for it in treatment called triggers. Triggers are cop-outs. Well, the reason I went back to using is because Mama died. Reason I went back to using is because I lost my child. Reason I went back to losing, I got a Dear John letter. Reason I started drinking again is I found out I had cancer. I used to drink, the old boy, that would just cut to the chase on that. When we'd go to the bar, he said, I'm just looking for an excuse. I've already got a reason. I'm thirsty. But can we come up with some kind of excuse? I tell you, I used the excuse of the traffic in Houston for so long it made me a drunk. Get down there. Well, it's too hard. Why don't we go have a drink or two till the traffic kind of lightens up in Houston? You know when the traffic lightens up in Houston? About 4 in the morning. Goodness, man alive. But we look for those things. We don't have anybody must say, I'm going to serve anyway. But if not, now, And notice what happened. They got that fire so hot, seven times hotter than it ever been, that the people that threw them in there, the executioners burned up. The executioners got executed. And then the king looks down and he said, "Hey, I thought we threw them down there bound, and I thought we threw three," and he sees four walking around, visiting, talking about it. "How you doing? Warm enough yet?" Notice what he said about that fourth one. Even the king had sense enough to grasp this. He said the form of the fourth is like not a son of God, the son of God. Let me tell you something. I don't care what your problems are tonight. If you put your faith and trust in Jesus, He may not get you out of them, but He will walk with you through them. You're not going to. I remember a year and a half after I quit drinking. I'd come home from Big Spring Federal Prison one Friday night. I was having a sandwich, and my phone rang. It's my oldest daughter telling me my youngest son had been killed. And I remember catching a plane the next morning to Houston. I remember that some of the toughest days of my life, the next few days. But I can honestly tell you that not one time in those days did I want a scotch and water. You know what I thought about? The one thing that kept bringing joy is that my son had seen me sober. My son had wanted me in his wedding 8 months before. My son had come by to see me out here when he was working in California and came back through here. The last time I'd seen him, we'd hugged and kissed and said, "I love you." No triggers. Just thank God. Thank God. I remember my oldest son said, "Dad, did you ever see Mike's apartment?" I said, "No, son, I left after the wedding. They left on their honeymoon. I've never seen it." He said, "You want to see it?" I said, "Well, sure." I remember, of course, my oldest son, you'd have to know my kids, they're kind of weird. He didn't have a key to the apartment, but he knew how to get in. So we went through the window, and he was showing me around. Nice little apartment, clean and neat. Over on the breakfast bar was a Bible that my mama had given to Michael when he was 10 years old. And I'm a Bible looker. Say, "I'll pick up your Bible looking. I want to see if you marked anything in it. I want to see if you highlighted anything. I want to see if you made yourself any notes in it." And I picked the Bible up and began to look at it. And I noticed in some of the verses that there were three different colors of ink: red, blue, and black. I knew then he'd read it three times at least. And then I started, and I remember walking out of there, walking that Bible. I have a Bible at home. His little wife let me have it. Hey, and I'm going to tell you something. I still have his last letter that he ever wrote me from California when he was out there. And he spells sometimes about like I do, but I'm going to tell you something. I won't let you correct it, because it's his word. Hey. And through all of that, in one of the most unenjoyable times I've ever had, I had the joy of knowing that I could see him again. Nothing in this world compares with knowing Jesus Christ. But if not, If God doesn't do what you want Him to do, will you still serve Him? If it's not easy, will you serve Him? These men stood the heat. They stood the pressure. As far as I know, they were the only three. We live in an era of tolerance. And we tolerate everything. They wouldn't. But if not, I want you to bow your head. You're here tonight, and you don't have that joy. You don't have that assurance. You may not can say that because you've never met Jesus Christ as your Savior. In a minute, we're going to pray. Right where you sit, you can have this kind of courage and this kind of victory. See, with God, the ending is always better. With the devil, the beginning is good and the ending is terrible. The ending there ends in a fiery furnace called hell. Here, the fiery furnace was just a means to the end. It wasn't the end at all. In fact, they got promoted by the king. But tonight, the Bible says that we're all sinners, and everybody would agree with that. I don't think we get an argument from anybody in here. And it tells us that the wages of sin is death, and the gift of God's eternal life, and most of you know that. Maybe what you didn't know is that if you just asked the Lord to save you, He would. The Bible said that with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And tonight, you'd like to know in your heart of hearts that you'd walk out of here as God's child, that you'd be saved, that all the host of hell could not touch you, just like the greatest man on earth, the Babylonian king, couldn't touch those three men. As I pray, here's what I want you to do. I want you to say, "Dear Lord, I'm a sinner. I've sinned against You. And if you're sorry, tell Him, and He'll know if you are or not. I want to be saved. I trust Christ to save me. I put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Would you be honest with Him?" Our Father, You know the hearts, everybody in here. We can't hide a thing from You. And so, Father, we're going to ask You now to just deal with some hearts. We're going to ask You to maybe get some people real and serious about eternity. We're going to ask You to deal with some flippant attitudes and unconcern. And Father, we're going to ask You to save somebody. In the name of Jesus Christ, we ask You. Heads still bowed, eyes still closed. Would you stand to your feet? Heads bowed, eyes closed. As Charles starts on the very first verse of "Just As I Am," would you come and say, "I trust Christ as my Savior"? On the very first verse, come on.
Just as I am.
Come on.
Without one plea, but that Your blood was shed for me, and that You bid me come to Thee, O Lamb of God, I come. I come.
question, are you doing what God wants you to do? Can you walk out of here tonight and say, Lord, I did what you wanted me to do? I'd face you with it. We're going to play one more, Charles going to sing one more verse. No one comes, we're out of here. Because I found out if I got to beg you to come, and I'd have to beg you to stay, and we're not the begging minutes. But are you doing what God wants you to do? This verse, step out.
Just as I am, I'm waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come. I come.
Our precious Heavenly Father, we thank you for the attention tonight. We thank you for this opportunity. Father, I pray that those that should have trusted you tonight would have another chance. Continue to deal with their heart, make them miserable until they can turn it over to you and just say, but if not. Thank you for those that are here. Thank you for all those that help and volunteer to get these things done. We ask for your blessings through the week. In Christ's name, amen. God bless you. Refreshments are open.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.